try and make you believe. Just evidence of the changes in me.
You're listening to WCNO, Palm City.
Well, the top of the morning to you. He was a missionary child. He's Clive Gray, and he hails from Ireland. Good morning, Clive. How are you?
Well, good morning, listener. I'm well, and I'm grateful to have breath and today. And I get to sit in front of you.
Where are you from originally? What city, town, village?
The problem with a missionary kid is it's difficult to answer that. It's a long answer, but if you've got time, I'll tell you. I was born in Belfast, Northern Ireland, and at 1 year old, I went out to West Africa where my parents were missionaries. They were Bible translators. And then I finished school in high school in Northern Ireland, married a Floridian, and have a couple of passports and a green card. So, but my home is heaven. That's where.
How did you marry a Floridian?
Well, it was a long time ago.
She was trying to escape the sunshine and go to Ireland, or what?
She was the very opposite. She grew up in little, sleepy Vera Beach here. That's where we're recording this from. And she was warned. Vera Beach has a lot of flight students, European flight students. Curly hair, and they're often charming. They come in from all over Europe. And the local girls, and she was warned, to be warned, do not go near the European curly-haired flight students. Well, by God's grace, in December, we will be married for 32 years.
And you met her right here, and you were a flight student.
I was a broke aircraft mechanic flight student, and I don't know if she found me or I found her, but by God's grace, she serves with us.
Now, were you serving the Lord at that point? Because you were kind of typical in that a pastor's child or a missionary's child. Though if you look at the lineage of missionary children,
correct,
they often prosper in this world, amazingly so, for especially the third generation.
They do, but sometimes it's a journey of pain, it's a journey of tears for us and for those around us. Because when we... So, yes, I grew up in a Bible-believing church. I made a profession of faith. I was baptized at 17. I knew how to do it, and many marks were on me.
I knew how to do it.
Many marks were on me to carry the banner. And I went to a good fundamental Christian college in North Carolina to be a missionary pilot. And I fell off. I fell in a rabbit hole, a big hole, and did about all the things in life that you shouldn't do for very good reasons. And I didn't honor God in my life there. And for many years, I had a foot in my faith and my journey with Christ, but I had a foot in the allures and the and what the world was calling me into. And by God's grace, it took many, many years, but by God's grace, not only did he call me back, because he is a God of grace, he is the Father who stands and waits for his son or his daughter to return. And he waited for Clive to get to a certain place where I said, I've had enough of this. I'm tired of running away from you. And I came running back to him, and he ran to me, like
let
we see.
Let me ask you this. Billy Graham would say, who I got the pleasure of interviewing a number of years ago, he said that often people get just enough that they never get it, like an inoculation. Now, it sounds to me, though, yeah, you had some sort of a connection that was genuine, but though you erred in your yeah ways like the prodigal son.
Yeah, that's true. But as Paul says, we only see in part, and we are only given, and so we can reconstruct this journey, and we can go ahead and put pieces back together. But a lot of it also just remains in the mystery of God's history for each one of us.
The and mystery so, and the history.
The mystery and the history. And the point is, he brought me to a place at the end of my own where there was just that emptiness. There was just that longing, something in the world outside of his love and his relationship that he invites us to, I wasn't finding. So he brought me back into his flock, but he went further than that. He went further than that. Not only were we good Southern Baptists, not only were we doing as we were supposed to do, and we did our tithe, and my wife was on the chair of the mission committee up there in O'Fallon, Missouri. I am now flying, finally, career's working out. I'm now a manager and a captain on a Learjet 60, flying millionaires to their yachts and their houses, aviation has finally paid off. It's been a long, long haul.
Now, at this time, you were not proselytizing to these millionaires because you were not on fire for the Lord.
I was on fire for the Lord, and they knew what I was. But I had boundaries as a professional to what they wanted to hear. They knew I was a good man, and they knew my faith. But there were certain limits to what my employee status could share. But in that journey, the Lord brought a book across my path at 37 years old called The Peace Child by Don Richardson. And it's an amazing story of a man and a woman paddling upstream into Irian Jaya, Indonesia, which is now called Papua. And for 3 days, I devoured this book, and I just could not put this book down. I told my wife about it. Catherine is her name. And she said, go talk to Brother Pastor Gary Taylor. He was my mentor. He's now in heaven. But I had lunch with him, and he said, well, so what's going on? I said, I read this book, and, you know, here's this Learjet captain in charge of millions of dollars of assets and flying very wealthy, powerful people around to their places. And there's something weak and feeble about me at that moment. And he says, what's going on? What's holding you back? And he says, well, brother, I said, you know my story. You know, the journey I've been on, you know, some of the crazy things I did early on. I said, I don't feel worthy. I don't feel worthy God could use me. And a big tear in his eye, he looked at me across the table.
So your sin is separating you from proclaiming the gospel.
Well, I'm walking with the Lord, but I had a shadow of shame.
A shadow of shame.
The enemy loves to keep us burdened because he doesn't. You know, I taught the sixth grade. We had been on, and here we are walking with the Lord. But there's something of a shadow that the enemy loves to have us hold us down. And he had disabled me at that moment, saying that I wasn't worthy. I couldn't work for him.
It's not always the power of the dark force, too. It's ourselves, our negative self-talk, or lack of forgiveness for self.
Exactly.
I just came from a conference where I was with a lot of very successful Christian writers. Yeah. And the best thing I got at this thing was the first night when suddenly I realized, I've written books for years, but I've kept them hidden. Haven't published any of them. Oh, you're not good enough. Oh, you don't have what it takes. Oh, you know, you're very imperfect. It would be hypocritical. And to go into this thing and find out, no, you can.
Yes.
And you don't have to reach a million. You can reach 100 and still fulfill your...
Yes.
You can reach one.
Exactly.
You can reach one.
But that voice inside.
Yeah, and I think I too want to write a book, but one of the artists talk about this resistance, the artistic resistance to think I can't get this project out. And so I held that was within me. And so Brother Gary Taylor at that moment, when he heard I said, I don't feel worthy, a tear in his eye, he looked at me without hesitation, and he says, Clive, you are absolutely correct. You are not worthy.
That's right.
He says, it is Christ that makes you worthy. Yeah. And you know, here's the thing is, and you talk about your conference, it's amazing how these things can get buried, and I had not allowed that Father's love to get to the tip of my toenails, to the tip of my fingernails. And I had not allowed my identity, my whole, who I am in Christ, back at the feast with servants now, and a ring, and shoes, and a robe. And the youngest son began to get a hold of that. And I think we should never completely accept that that's where we are. We can sit there in awe. I shouldn't be here. Me? I'm here. The oldest son didn't get that. He had a whole reference. He had a sense of entitlement. And so Brother Gary told me then at that point, he says, I'll take you even further. He says, my experience is when you think you are worthy, God has trouble to use you. Now, that was over 20...
When you think you're worthy... God has trouble to use you. Exactly.
And I now, looking at almost 20 years later, in full-time service with the Lord, working for Him. And let me rephrase this. I have a sense that the Lord was saying to me, He says, hey, Clive, this is where the gentle Spirit of God invites us to participate with Him, walking closer with Him. And I think the Lord was saying to me, I'm quite sure He was saying to me, He says, Clive, I've got some work for you to do. I have some divine work here on earth if you choose to join and follow me. And this is another invitation to be his servant. And that's all I am. I heard of a man went to a conference once, and as he walked in, the old gentleman he didn't recognize stopped him, and he said, "Who are you?" And the guy started to answer that with a multiple advantages, answers, and the gentleman stopped him, and he saved himself from himself. And he said, "I'll tell you who you are. You're a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ." And that's my answer. That's all. That's enough. It's more than enough.
Let me ask you this. So here's another thing I've grappled with for years. So you're my brother in Christ. Mm. We believe that. We trust the fact that, okay, you're born again, I'm born again, we're connected. Now, the blood is thicker than water. Most people think that means that if we were blood relatives, that's thicker. No. The water is the birth, the physical, physiological birth on this earth. The blood is the blood of Jesus, meaning we both have the DNA of Jesus. Amen. Now, he says anybody that loves mother, father, or daughter, or wife above me is not worthy of me. Have you scrutinized yourself? I know it took my mother dying, my father dying, yeah, my brother dying, the end of relationships to understand.
Yeah.
Wow. Because it was my family, and then it was the outside world. Yeah. Suddenly, I have no family blood, and so now I have to connect with guys like you and go, "Well, he's my brother," and I've actually gotten closer to people because of that. But and I have to say, do I love Jesus more than my mother?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And I was like, okay, I heard her voice though, Lord. Yeah. I held her. I know her perfume. I know her love.
Yeah.
I know you, and actually, now that I say that, I have smelled his fragrance. I had a visitation once with the roses. Oh, wow. It was absolutely gorgeous.
Wow.
But
I've had some visitations too. I've had several divine visitations. Maybe that'll be another podcast.
Do I love him above self? Do you love him above your own daughter? You have a daughter, right?
I do have a daughter, and I love my daughters, and I love my wife, but there are other loves, and I think one of the most insidious loves, one of the most difficult ones to get rid of, is my love for myself. This love for self is every morning.
How old are you?
In a couple of months, I'm 58.
You're a youngster. You're 10 years younger than me.
I hope the Lord gives me 30 years to be doing this.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie for sponsoring It's a New Day. We'd also like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting us.
Through deserts wide and oceans deep, when troubles pressed us to our knees, you remain through everything. The song we sing, you are good, you are good, your love is great. Your love endures through everything. Our hearts are sure. You are good forever. Good. Through every dark, uncertain day, the fears arise, we're not afraid. You never change through all eternity. It's who you are.